all of you over there would just scoot in that direction as far as you can and fill up the seats, and then there may be some seats over in here that some of you over there. Those of you that are in the corner here, I think, cannot see the screen. Now, if it were the preacher that is back there, you might want to sit over there where you couldn't see him. But I think you will want to move a little bit where you can see the screen. That's fine. As most of you in the congregation know, for several months now, we have been looking at some possibilities of plans for expansion of our physical plant. It was determined by our elders, suggestion of others, I think also back a few months ago, that we needed to look at this and try to determine what our greatest needs are and to come up with some recommendations. Back, I suppose, about 2 months ago on a Sunday evening after the evening service, I presented the report from the mission or from the expansion committee with some sketches that we looked at, and we posted those around the building to where you could look at them and make comments and share your thoughts and your suggestions with us on that. And we've appreciated all of that. Along during this time, there have been several developments, as you would expect, because as we emphasized from the very beginning, nothing was set. We were looking at possibilities. We were trying to determine what was best. The elders appointed a 7-person committee involving 3 of the elders, 3 of the deacons, and me to work together sort of as a committee to bring the ideas together to present to the elders and then to the deacons and then to the congregation. We feel like that what we're talking about tonight is important enough to all of us that we need to look at it at a time when we're all together. Many times we have our missionaries come back and in our evening services as we're worshiping God as a part of our worship, remind us of what we're doing to take the gospel to other parts of the world, and I think that's appropriate. And I believe it is just as appropriate for us tonight to work the presentation of these ideas into the evening lesson, the evening presentation, because we're talking about our mission work and our work here on a local level. The first thing that I want to do tonight as we begin to talk about this is to read every scripture that there is in the New Testament that specifically talks about a church building. I just did. And I say that to make a point that I think is extremely important. Sometimes when we start talking about what we're going to do in the Lord's work, particularly as far as the building is concerned, people will say, well, I think this is right and I think this is wrong. Folks, I've been preaching now 40 years this month. Of course, I started preaching when I was 2. I have never found the first scripture that specifically talks about a church building. It's just not there. The reason for that is they did not have church buildings in the early church history like we have today. They did not need them basically at that time because they had access to the temple where they could go and worship. They had access to other places where they could assemble, and in many instances in the early history, they assembled in homes. So you see, when we begin to look at what we could do and should do and what's the best thing when it comes to a building plan, we don't have a thing said in the Bible specifically about a church building. That means we've got to do 2 things. One, we can go back to the Old Testament and study about a physical building that God had back then. In fact, more than one if we take into consideration the tabernacle and then the temple. And I believe there are some great principles that can be learned, especially in the study of Exodus, where there was the preparation for the tabernacle and the building of it and the collection of the funds for it. It's one of the most beautiful studies that you can find to see how Moses challenged the people and the people brought to him and brought to where he had to tell them to quit bringing. Just a wonderful lesson there. And as we study that, and as we study about the building of the temple at different times, when it was torn down and then was rebuilt, we can learn some great lessons and can apply them. We can also learn some great principles from several passages in the New Testament. For example, we all understand that we're commanded to assemble. Well, if we're going to assemble, we have to have somewhere to assemble. It just necessarily follows with good common sense, and common sense goes a long ways in studying a lot of things, that there needs to be a place to assemble. We look at other passages that tell us things that we need to do. We certainly need to do benevolent work. We need ways and means of carrying out these things. We're told to preach the gospel locally and around the world. That necessarily means we're going to have some methods. And so we need to take these principles and look at them in light of the circumstances that we are currently facing. The church building where I responded to the gospel October the 19th, 1953, and confessed my Lord, belief in him as the Son of God, was a building that had nothing except an oblong auditorium. There wasn't a classroom in it. There was no baptistry in it. We didn't need one. We had a creek that ran right by it that was deep enough to baptize people. We had an outdoor baptistry. When I was a little boy, my class met in the back of the auditorium. The teenagers met over here, and the adults met over here. And we all studied God's Word, and I learned things there that I remember today. There were a lot of things that we didn't need. In fact, if you go back a generation or so before that, maybe the generation that would precede those of you that are the oldest ones in the audience tonight, there was a time when they didn't need any light bulbs in the church building. Because if they'd had the light bulbs, they didn't have electricity to run to them. There are a lot of things that we have in a church building today that our forefathers did not have because they did not have that specific need at that time. And I say that to help us to understand that we have to use the basic principles in God's Word to help us to understand what is needed and how best to accomplish that to carry out the Great Commission and to do the Lord's work. There are two ideas presented by Paul that are especially meaningful to me as I serve as a part of this expansion committee and try to help to get all our ideas together and present them to our elders to make some final decisions when that time comes. Number one is where Paul said, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Whatever we do, whatever we don't do, it all ought to be decided what's best for the Lord's cause and what fits into his teaching and his principles. The second idea is where Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he said, "I have become all things to all men that I might by all means win some." Now look at that word means. Always, all means, win some. What are those means? Paul didn't have some of the methods you and I have to take the gospel to where he took it. He did not have an automobile. He could not get on an airplane like Brother Reeder did recently and flew to Russia. He did not have many of the means that we have, but he said, "I want to use all the means and the methods and the ways that I can to bring people to Christ and to keep them in Christ." I believe that was his goal. And I suggest to you tonight that if we use those two approaches, those two basic ideas first, let's try to do everything we do to the glory of God and stay within the boundary of his word. And if you'll let me refer back to the lesson this morning, try to keep a balanced approach that is standing on his word in everything that we do. And then try to look at what are the best ways, what are the best means that we can use right here at Henderson. We may need some things here that are not needed somewhere else. And there may be some things that we don't need here that are needed somewhere else, and in each case would help each of the situations to do a better job in doing the Lord's will. Now that's the framework in which I am presenting what I am presenting tonight. Let me share with you in the first place some of the things that I shared with you the last time that I presented this, and I think if you'll cut these lights right here, can you cut them from back there? Or are they from up here, Brother Johnson? Where? They're back there. The top one in the box, right? That's it. And I think you can leave these, the other lights on about like this, and we can talk together. One of the things that we discussed the last time was, over here where the library is, that we would like to, I think, let's see, let me turn that like, no, I had it right, didn't I? Just to turn it over. There we go. I told my class this morning I could say the ABCs backwards, and I turned around and said them. All right, back in this area over here, in all the planning that we've been talking about, we've agreed we need to do that to improve our restroom facilities in that area. That has not changed from the time we began to present these sketches. What we're hoping to do over there is to take what is now the present library and make a nice ladies' restroom out of it, and take what's now the two restrooms and make a men's restroom out of it. And that's just an area that's pretty well the same on all the plans that we have presented. The other time we presented this plan, and I've got it backwards, okay, as number three. You remember there were sketches one, two, and three that we had on the board for you to consider. Number three was the most extensive one and the most expensive one of the ones that we looked at. This is the one where we would close in the breezeway, take the area where the present offices are now and turn into restrooms, put the offices over in that area that we, for some reason or other, call the hold on the upper level with a classroom, or I think at that point we were talking about the conference room and library below it. And then with a canopy at each end of that and a canopy that would go around the educational building. At the same time, we presented plan number two, or sketch number two, which I'm not even going to put up here tonight because nobody thought that it was a good idea. Everybody agreed that plan two was not a good idea. I think that's the only thing we ever agreed on. But this was sketch number one, which was the least extensive and the least expensive. What it would have done, or would do if we used this, would be to take where the present offices are and make a foyer and put the offices over again in that area of that we're calling the hold, upstairs with the conference room under it, leaving the breezeway just like it is and doing nothing to the educational building, doing nothing to the auditorium, but simply dealing with that area to come up with a foyer and office space, and would have given us, or would give us if we used that, a smaller foyer. When we presented sketch one, which you're looking at now, and sketch three, we asked for comments from the congregation. Comments that were made to the committee members came from about 100 people. We had about 70 people who suggested that they thought that number three was the way to go. We had about 25 or 30 people who suggested that number one was the way to go. And we had no one who suggested number two, which was, if you remember, simply expanding the walls 8 feet and taking half of the breezeway in. So as we began to consider that and talk about it, comments began to be made by members of the committee. We are hearing some other suggestions. And there are several people who think we need to include some things that we've not yet included. So we began to listen. And folks, let me tell you, this committee has listened. We've tried to listen to every comment that is made and to weigh it and to take it into consideration. The comments that we began to hear were along this line. We need something that will give us an opportunity for more activities with our youth. We even had grandparents in the congregation make those suggestions. And I was pleased at that. That some of those in the congregation who are grandparents of teenagers are thinking about their grandchildren, and we've received many comments from all ages that we need to be able to do more with activities with our youth group. In addition, we began to receive several comments that we need something where we can do more with our older members, a place where they can meet, a place where they can do things together. And so out of that, the committee went back to the drawing board. And we looked at the possibilities that were there, taking into consideration the sketches that had been made and some of the suggestions that were being made. And we came up with some ideas and presented these ideas to our elders. In turn, we presented them to the deacons. And tonight, we're sharing these basically with you. The first idea was that we take Plan 1. Now, Plan 1, if you're looking at that, you remember this is auditorium, not audit, over here. We may have to audit before we're through. And the annex, but they'll give you an idea of what we're talking about. And instead of having a smaller lobby and offices there, to take that whole space and make a lobby. Now, I frankly admit that I had not thought about that until somebody else suggested it. You see, when you get thoughts from other people, more things come in. In other words, this would mean that where the present offices are, with the wall extended all the way to the far side of the building, all of this that's outside the end of this annex would be a lobby. And it makes sense in many ways. One point, for example, think about the number of people who come from the parking lot and come in that direction over there. Puts a big portion of our lobby. If you can just imagine taking where all the offices are, extending on this little corner over here to cover that space, and extending all the way over to that and have a lobby. Then, in addition to that, with all the suggestions that had been made, the only way we could come up with something that would fit all of these suggestions and give us what we thought could do the job is to go the other side of our educational building and build a building that we've determined at this point probably needs to be 70 by 120, would basically be a metal type building with the front that would be out here where the offices would be, with a nicer front to where when you looked at it from the street, you'd be looking at it as though it were an office building. Build a building there that is separated from our educational building by 6 feet. It doesn't need to be tied on to our educational building. Separated by 6 feet, a building that would be 70 feet wide and 120 feet long. This would be connected by two corridors, maybe not that wide. You see where the blue is. It would be connected to the educational building. Those would probably need to be a little more narrow in order to continue to use our educational building as we now use it. We've looked at the possibility of taking the first 30 feet that would be next to 2nd Street with an 8-foot hall down the middle. On one side, put the offices, two preacher's offices and a secretary's office, with probably about half of that being in the secretary's office. And if you don't realize the need for a secretary's office, I can tell you something immediately. You haven't visited our present secretary's office. We need one at least 3 times as big as the one we have now. We preachers probably could get by with what we have, although I'd like to have a little more space where more people could come into mine, but our biggest need is in the secretary's office. Then there would be room on this side for a conference room, library, and restrooms, men and women's restrooms, that would be large enough to take care of the needs that would develop because of some of the things that I'm going to suggest to you in just a moment. That would leave in this area right here a room that is 70 by 90. Now let me put that in perspective. A high school basketball court is 84 by 56. I may be missing that a foot or two, but approximately that. We would have the wherewithal in this building, first of all, to have fellowship where we could have the entire congregation. When we used it for fellowship, we would be able to keep our present kitchen where it is, use the educational building fellowship area now for the food and some tables, and then maybe seat as many as 400 to 500 people in that room. We could take care of most any type of fellowship that we would need for the whole congregation. We've thought about this room, and this is basically a multi-purpose room, a multi-purpose building. It's exactly the same thing that our present building over here is, except it's bigger and will allow for more things. Principle-wise, it's exactly the same thing. A multi-purpose building where we can do several different things. We would have the ability in that, Ron, as far as the educational department is concerned, if we wanted to have a class of 400 or 500 people. We would then have the ability to have a class of up to 400 or 500 in here. We could have 80 to 100 in each of the annexes. We could have either two fairly large classes or one big class in the educational building, and then have room, if it developed sometime, that we wanted one big college class. That would be ample space for 400, 500, maybe 600, 700 even in there with the space. With our youth activities, it would give us the ability, if we wanted to put some basketball goals, if we wanted to put other ways in there of their playing together and being together. And if you don't realize that one of the ways that we're converting people to Christ is through our youth group, you're just not looking. We're bringing more people to Christ through our youth group than any other one way in Henderson. And sometimes if we can get young people to come to our building and be involved with games and activities with our present youth, we can baptize them into Christ, and then we can teach their parents. And this is an outreach even through the activities that we're talking about. This room would also be big enough that our older people and others who need to walk could get together in the early morning, for example, or any time, and be together and walk, be together for activities of a benevolent nature, devotional activities. In other words, this room could give us enough space. We're talking about a building that's probably square foot-wise as big as this entire auditorium, including the annex. We're talking about a good-sized building. And the thinking is, and the suggestions that have been made from so many is, when you build, build big enough. And I think all of us have seen where we built something, about the time we got it built, we said we wish we'd made it a little bit bigger. This committee is going at a slow pace. We are trying to study everything. We're trying to share this with the elders to help them in their decisions. And we're trying to look on down the road 10, 20, 30 years from now. We're convinced that we do not need additional auditorium space. With two services on Sunday morning, and some of you liked the two services on Sunday night back a while back, we can take care of up to 2,000 people in our auditorium if we had to. 1,500 comfortably at the two services. We're not pressed right now for classroom space. Although if we go this route, we're adding the possibility of a classroom for 400 or 500. We'll be adding a classroom under the, out here where the hole is, downstairs. It would be another big classroom. By moving the conference room up here, we'd be freeing another classroom downstairs. We're increasing the educational department, Ron, by 3 or 4 classrooms just in doing what we're doing. We are talking about something that would give us an opportunity to do more and more with our young people. Let me just throw you out a dream, and that's exactly where it is now. I wish that when school is out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we could have the buses drop off their latchkey children out here at the end of our building and have programs planned to take care of those children that go home with no parents and have activities for them and teach them the Bible and let their parents come and pick them up at 5 or 6, which means their parents have got to come to our building. Now that's a dream. And I pray the Lord let me live long enough to see something like that. But look at the opportunities that we would have with a building like this. We think that we need to look in this direction after listening to you in the congregation. And I admit to you, 2 months ago, I never thought that something like this was possible. I didn't dream that there was that much interest in the congregation in looking in this direction. What we are talking about is a little bit more expensive, somewhat more expensive than Plan 3, as you would imagine with all the activities that we're talking about. But we are convinced that when the blueprints are drawn or the sketches are drawn, and we have a figure given to us, that it's such that with what we have in the bank, what we can raise, that we would owe less than 1 year's budget and do everything that we're talking about. I believe we can do that. Much less. Our 1 year's budget now is well over $350,000. And are up in that area at least. And we would owe less than 1 year's budget. Maybe much less than that. We don't know what all the figures would be until we get some of the blueprints. But we think it's something that we can do. Folks, we're a congregation of between 275 and 300 families. And maybe we need to do more mission work amongst ourselves and get more of us more interested. There are two things that are enemies of the work of the church in a building program or anything else. One is ignorance. And that's lack of information. I didn't say stupidity, I said ignorance. Don't draw any conclusion about anything until you have the facts. I've realized this more and more in the last few weeks. There were some facts that I had not taken into consideration until somebody else pointed out some of them. The second thing that is an enemy of our work is what I call tunnel vision. You see, I tend to see just in front of me and what I want. And I've got to widen out and see what's best for these young people that are here. And in just a few years, some of those that some of you mothers have to get up and take out during the services are going to be up here. And with all the older men, we have 70-something widows in the congregation. And about 8 widowers. That's a good proportion, isn't it, Charlie Cox? I didn't say that. We have numbers of older members that enjoy getting together. We think we're on to something, and there are a lot of details to be worked out, but we think we're on to something that can help us to do a better job in the Lord's work. And I personally believe this, and I believe it from the bottom of my heart. Folks, if we don't look to the future, we will go around in circles, do a good work, but we'll be about the same that we are 10 years from now. If we look to the future with common sense and keeping our feet on the ground, but with a little bit of faith, I don't think there's one of us here who realizes what we can do. This last week, Joan Parchman brought me a Christmas present that she had made, one of those things you stitch and cross-stitch, I guess it is, in the picture. And it says, I hung it in my office, it says, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Now that's a preview. I'm going to preach a sermon on that. That's just a preview tonight. There are some things that you and I don't even understand. Noah didn't understand the rain. He didn't understand the flood. But he was willing to reach out and take what God told him and do his best to do the will of God. And look what it meant to him 120 years later. I believe what we're talking about tonight is very important 10 years, 20 years on down the line. Let me emphasize again, there are a lot of details to be worked out. But basically what we're looking at now as far as the overall possibility is back here, fix these restrooms to where we have 2 nice restrooms in that end of the building. And I'm sure there'll be other little things that we will use to make our building, our present building, better to be used in the Lord's work. Where the offices are, and over in this section here, make a foyer that's suggested where it says lobby here, which would at least give us an area we could have bulletin boards where people can talk before services and after services, and that's just as important as it can be. And then build a building that's 70 by 120. The only negative thing I've seen so far is when that's built, I can't see Brigham's Hall and Paul Gray Hall and watch the Cubans. But to build something like that, that's an all-purpose building that will help us office-wise, conference room, Bible school department, fellowship area, youth activities, older members' activities, we think basically we can do what we need to do with this approach. Now, I'm sure you may have some questions. After the services tonight, I'll be glad to talk with any of you or any time, any of the elders on the expansion committee, or Brother Rickard, Brother Miller, Brother Johnson, the deacons, or Brother McGee, Brother Morton, Brother Barry Smith, and I'm on that committee. Talk to any of us, talk to any of the elders. You may see some things we haven't seen yet. You may see some opportunities in some of the things I've presented tonight that none of us has seen. Because some of you have on these other sketches, you've made some suggestions that we hadn't thought of. You can help us with your suggestions. And here's the approach that I think we have to take. Number one, what are our greatest needs? Number two, what are the basic wishes of the congregation to meet those needs? And then number three, let's use wisdom and common sense. Based on the principles that we learn in God's Word to do everything that we do, to save as many souls as possible and do it all to the glory of God. Now, a few minutes ago, I said I was going to read all the scriptures that had to do with the church building. The Bible does talk about the building as a church. You can turn the lights back up now, if you will, at the back. Or talks about the church as a building. It's the house of God. It's the family of God. It's the building of lively stones. And that's not talking about the physical building. That's talking about us. And that's really why we're talking about a physical building, is to help us